So turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 5. There's been some powerful words that have been shared today in music. I was at a conference when I heard this last song that they sang, that He won't fail. And I just believe that every once in a while, that needs to be sold into our hearts again. Folks, I don't know what you're believing for, but the promises of God are true. His judgments are right. You can count on God to come through for you. He will not fail you. He may not answer the way you think, but God will not fail you. So you keep trusting in Him. So chapter 5 of the book of Acts. Amen. If I could skip it, I would, but the Spirit of the Lord wouldn't let me skip it. And so we're going to talk to you about something that is not mentioned a whole lot in the Bible. We're going to talk to you about correction and about your attitude during correction. Does the Lord still correct? Absolutely, yes. What should your attitude be? Your attitude should be, bring it on. Bring it to me, Jesus. I can handle it. I need your correction. So in chapter 5, verse 1 through 11, he says, "But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession, and he kept back part of the proceeds, his wife also being aware of it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? Keep back part of the price of the land for yourself. While it remained, was it not your own? After it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. Then Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and breathed his last. So great fear came upon all those who heard these things. And the young men arose and wrapped him up and carried him out and buried him. Now it was about 3 hours later when his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. Peter answered her and said, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yes, for so much. Peter said, how is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of God? Look at the feet of those who buried your husband are at the door, and they'll carry you out. Then immediately she fell down at his feet and breathed her last. And the young men came in and found her dead and carried her out, buried her by her husband. So great fear came upon all the church and upon all those who heard these things." Exciting stuff. Let's pray. Jesus, your word is anointed. It's anointed to change our hearts. Lord, sometimes your word is like a hammer, and it breaks things down. It breaks things into pieces. And so, Father, I pray, Lord, for us to receive your word today in the truth that it was given. And I pray, God, that you would do in this congregation, and even to those that are watching us by Facebook, God, I pray that you would begin to do a work in us that you know needs to be done. So, Father, we yield ourselves to you today, to the Holy Spirit, to bring corrective measures to our life. God, no one likes to be corrected. But when we're corrected by you, it's a wonderful thing. It's a good thing. So we give our nod today to the Spirit of God. Lord, we want you to correct us. We want you to make course corrections in our life. And if there's any wicked way in us, God, show us by your Spirit today so that we can leave this place free in Christ. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, for you're my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you notice, I got double prayer today at the front, and it's because of this sermon. You need double prayer on a sermon like this. You know, preachers like to preach on faith. We like to preach on great things, but this is necessary. It's necessary teaching for the body of Christ. And so a lot of times we'll read this and we'll think, boy, that's something. I'm so glad that stopped in the book of Acts. Did anything stop in the book of Acts? No, it did not. Maybe you've been taught that certain things stopped in the book of Acts. It's not true. The book of Acts is still being written. you are now the apostles and the missionaries and the teachers and going out. So what happened in chapter 4? Chapter 4, the church is multiplying, it's increasing, it's growing. There is such an excitement about the new church. You know, on the day of Pentecost, God established his church in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 3, it's growing and things are multiplying. Acts chapter 4, the church is coming together. They're giving their offerings and their monies. And a guy named Joseph, he came up and he sold this land and he gave it to the church. And he said, I want you to use this for the kingdom. And everybody went, wow, look at this guy. He's such an encouragement, man. And they began to respect him, not worship him. But they began to respect him so much that it caught the attention of other people. And that's what we're dealing with today. So you need to realize that Satan wants to interrupt the victorious move of God. So why is that important to us? Because we're there. See, God, I told the first congregation this. Treva and I are doing nothing different than we did for the last 12 years, but there is something different happening at this church. And it has nothing to do with me, has nothing to do with the worship team, has nothing to do with the deacons or the elders. It has everything to do with the sovereignty of God. So Satan would like to slip in at this conjunction. And so, if you don't believe me, look back to chapter 5. Look, put your heads down, look at your word. Look at the very first word. But. Great things are happening in chapter 4. Chapter 5 starts off with but. But what? But Satan was working. But Satan entered a man's heart. See, what happened to Ananias and Sapphira is they saw what happened to Barnabas. And they saw the accolades. They saw the respect. And they said in themselves, I want that. I want that. I want people to respect me. I want people to honor me. I want people to call me son of encouragement. But you know what the difference was? They didn't have the character to sustain the promotion. So see, you have to wait on God. Let God. The Bible says that we are to humble ourselves and then He will exalt us. But I've seen it done the other way in churches. I've seen people get their eye on a promotion. Somehow in the body of Christ, we think all those are on the pulpit. That's a promotion. No, sometimes it's just a bigger price to pay. You just be you and let Jesus work in you. And should He exalt you, you let that come from the Lord, not from manipulation, which is the sin of witchcraft. See, it was no problem. That land was theirs. They could have kept all the money if they wanted to. That was not the sin. The sin was not keeping part back of the money. The sin was the deceit of lying to the Holy Ghost. They thought they were just going to deceive Peter and the rest of the body so that they could get these accolades, but God saw it differently. And so why should that pertain to us? Because Solomon said, there's nothing new under the sun. Everything that they were dealing with at the beginning of the church is happening right now. I told you this before, and I'm going to sow it again to your life. The same way the church started with the power of the Holy Ghost, I believe the thing will end with this. So therefore, you may see things like this replayed. Now, do we want that? Absolutely not. I'm not into funerals. I'm into life. Hallelujah. I'm into faith. I'm into believing God for great things. But there's something that is happening in our land. We have lost fear of God. If you don't believe me, did you watch the opening of the Olympics? I didn't watch it either. I'm thankful I didn't. But I'm telling you, people that can do something like that have lost their fear of God. You remember Jim Baker in the 1980s? He got into awful sin. He was a wonderful man of God, and God was doing great things in his life. And then Satan came in, filled his heart. And so somebody came to him, said this, "When did you lose your love for Jesus?" You know what his answer was? "I didn't. I never stopped loving Jesus, but I lost my fear of God." You see, I think sometimes I will say something like, the American church. But it's not the American church. It's the world. The world has lost their fear of God. The fear of God is healthy and clean. It's reverence. Are you getting me? Folks, we don't need less of the fear of God. We need more of the fear of God. I think it was John Bevere said, the church is built upon two pillars, humility and fear of God. I like that. We need both. Nothing really starts in your heart until you humble yourself before the Lord. And when you lose your fear of God, you will begin to do things that you didn't used to do. Why? You need to know that the Savior that you serve today will one day be your judge. So fear of the Lord is not being afraid of Him, but it's reverencing Him. It's honoring that He is Lord. It's saying, God, I know one day I will answer to You. You are judge as well as Savior. I think it's Matthew something 15:33, I think, but I could be wrong. And it says that it was a parable that Jesus taught. He's talking about this lady who had a little bit of leaven, and she put it in all the meal and worked it through the meal. And it says a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Well, leaven in the Bible is symbolic of sin. And see, what the church has done is we've allowed a little sin. We said, well, this won't really bother. You know, it's amazing to me how we justify sin. And we almost divide our heart. We almost say, well, Lord, You can have this part of my heart, but this part is mine. This is a closed door. Lord, You don't need to go in there. That's my kingdom. It's not Yours. There's no such thing, by the way. God wants to rule your whole heart, your whole life. You have a part of your life that God won't go into. In your mind, you might try to do that, but it doesn't work, I promise you. So the church is doing wonderful, but Satan is moving in. Why? Because people wanted to be exalted, but they did not have the character in place to be exalted. In Romans 5, I think it's verse 3 through like verse 6 or something. I'm just going to read a portion of it. It says, tribulation produces perseverance. And perseverance produces character. And character, hope. Folks, we have need of patience. We don't like patience. We don't want to pray for patience. What the church today will tell you is don't pray for patience because it's going to cost you trials. That is short-sighted and ignorant. And if you've ever said it, you need to repent. Now, I know that's a little harsh, but seriously, you have taught erroneous doctrine. And you need to repent that you ever said that and help the Lord to erase that. Right? What do we need? We need patience. Because in your patience possess you your soul. Patience and endurance. It's called, in the Greek, it's phlomeno. You know what it means? Staying power. I'm on this rock and I will not move. I'm not going to move. I pray. And I know my answer is coming. And in this middle part, I have need of patience. What we deem is something that's a fringe, that's well, you don't really want patience. The early church said, no, patience is the prince of all virtues. So the early church elevated patience. The American church has said, no, patience is not good. Are you kidding me? You need patience. You need to know that after you pray, you stand in faith, believing God. That's patience. To know, I don't have to feel a thing. I've been raised Pentecost. All my life I've been Pentecost. Pentecosts are used to goosebumps. And that's when you feel, oh, the Holy Ghost is here. I got news for you. I don't have to feel a thing and I know the Holy Ghost is here. Because He promised He would be. I stand on His Word, not on my feelings, not on my emotions. His Word is true. We have need of patience. See, you may see something that you really want, and you're driven to try to get it. Don't! Maybe you can't sustain it. Maybe you're not ready for the promotion. Wait on God. When you humble yourself, He will exalt you in time. I've seen people in the church do these power plays, trying to get a position, trying to be respected, trying to do something. Are you following me? It's never good. Why? Because we have dipped into in Satan's handbag, and we're trying to get something godly by using Satan's tools. It doesn't work. We have to allow God to do the pure work in our hearts. Can you have patience? Here's the question. Can you have patience for you? Are you willing to wait on God so that God completes His work in you? Anybody feel like you're perfect? Oh, I saw those hands drop real quick. Then if you're not perfect, then you're waiting on God to perfect you. Will we be perfect on earth? No. But can we be mature? Absolutely. Does God want us to be mature? Absolutely. Why? Because there's a world out there that needs to see mature Christians. You know the word Christian has lost its strength? It's been cheapened to the point that it means somebody that goes to church twice a year. Christian means godlike. Okay. I'm tired of screaming. Let's just teach the word. You know, Satan is looking for an open door. And pride opens that door. Pride actually opens it really wide. It's not a crack. It's a huge hole. We need to guard against pride. Stay humble. Why such harsh, swift judgment at this point? Couldn't God have just corrected them and said, guys, knock that off now? Mm-mm. See, there's a story in the Old Testament that, as I begin to really study this came to my mind. And they're very similar. So in the Old Testament, Joshua has taken over leadership from Moses, and he's leading them into the promised land. In other words, something new has happened. They're not wandering in the desert anymore for 40 years. Now they've moved out of the desert. They're receiving their inheritance. And Achan sins. They whipped up on Jericho, and God does a miraculous work. I mean, no man could take glory for that. It was all God. And then they said, well, that went so well. Why don't you just send a few of them down to that little city called Ai, and we'll just whip their butt too. But it didn't happen that way. Joshua fell on his face. And God says, what are you doing on your face? Get up, Joshua. There's sin in the camp, and we need to deal with it. And it was Achan. So see, at the beginning of going into the inheritance of the promised land and the beginning of the church, God is setting up His authority. Does that make sense? God is saying, I'm the one in charge. Don't even look to Joshua, because it's me who's leading this thing. Don't look to Peter in the early church. It ain't about Peter. It's about me. I'm the one in charge. I am the authority. See, we have lost that fear of the authority of God. You need to recognize God's in charge. I'm not. That's news to some of you, isn't it? You know what? I don't want to be in charge. I have people all the time say, well, you're in charge of the church. Why don't you do this? I'm not in charge of the church. He's in charge. When he tells me to do something, I'll listen to him, but I ain't going to listen to you. God is zealously guarding the tender root of the church. I know in our American minds, we look at this and say, that's not right. That's not just. Let me tell you, the judgments of the Lord are right. You hear me? Don't you question chapter 5. It is right because God did it. And God's going to bring correction in your life. And it may seem harsh, but it may save your life. And may preserve your future. How do we overcome sin's influence? Number one, have no secrets before God. You cannot conceal sin. You cannot hide it from God. The Word says, for the Word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the division of soul and spirits, of joints and marrow. He's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Did you hear that last part? God is a discerner of thoughts. Does that scare you? Scares me just a little bit. You know, the Bible says the heart is deceitfully wicked. Who can know it? You may think you know your heart, but you don't. You can even fool yourself, but you can't fool Him. And when if you ask the Holy Spirit, reveal my heart to me, He will. And you need that. You may not know you need it, but you need it. So verse 13 says, there's no creature hidden from His sight. That's you. You're a creature. But all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him to whom we must give an account. You know, most of my life when I read that verse, it would scare me. I'd say, oh God, you see me naked? That's scary. You mean you can read my thoughts? That's just... And you know, my attitude about 20 years ago changed totally. Now I'm like, here I am, Jesus. Do you see any wicked way in me? Would you show me? I want to get it out of my heart. See, I am glad now that He knows the secrets of my mind. I can't hide from Him. David said, when I concealed my sin, my bones decayed within me. He started dying from the inside out when he tried to heal. You know, people do that all the time. People are trying. Americans are afraid of that. Oh, we go to church, especially in the South. We put this right face on. Hallelujah, praise God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I got my act together. And inside, they're the worst sinner in the camp. Achan didn't get by with it, and Ananias, Sapphira didn't get by with it. And I got news for you. You won't either. You may think you can fool every person in this building, but you will not fool Him. And what you need to understand, sin equals death. Righteousness equals life. Let's Wednesday night we studied about exercise yourself to be godly. I thought it was such a great lesson, even if I did teach it. You know, in America, we believe in exercise, don't we? I mean, we're killing ourselves at the gym. Right? We're just exercising. We're lifting weights. We're doing all kinds of things. And we got it wrong. Paul said, oh, there's a little benefit to exercise. Now, what he really meant there's great benefits to exercise, right? We know that scientifically. We know exercise is really good for you. If you're not exercising, you ought to be. I didn't think I'd get an amen, but boy, that was quiet. But he is saying, if you compare your life here with eternity, bodily exercises, yeah, it's a little bit beneficial. But godliness exercise, exercising yourself to godliness, has fruits that's out of this world. You're going to walk into eternity. You get that? Are you exercising your faith to be godly? Without holiness, no one will see God. Do you know what God is doing? If God started this thing with the power of Pentecost, I believe God's going to end this thing with the power of Pentecost. If God created fear in the church so that people would reverence Him, I got a feeling it's coming back. Because we have lost our fear of God. Don't you mark my words. I'm not a prophet. But I believe this is under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. You're going to see some things happen in the last days that's going to bring people back to the fear of God. Why? Because we have to have it. So nothing is hidden from God. So don't try to keep secrets. Best thing you can do is say, God, fix me. Number two, keep your eyes focused on Jesus. Hebrews 12 says, therefore we also, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Isn't that an interesting thought? You know, if your spiritual eyes could be open right now, this room may be full of angels. It may be angels just filling this place up. Right? Just watching and experiencing what we experience in salvation. He says, we have this cloud of witnesses. He said, let us lay aside every weight. He distinguishes weight and sin. Weight can be something, let me say it this way. Weight could be playing golf. Is there anything wrong with playing golf? Absolutely not, unless you put it before God. If your golf games are Sunday morning, I got a feeling that's a weight. So he says, let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily... Hupomeno, that's the staying power. Race that is set before us, looking into Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He wants us to accomplish this. Number three, that we need to overcome sin's influence is the healthy fear of God. It's the beginning of wisdom. You need to know that He must be reverenced. Don't treat God like He's some kind of sidekick. You hear me? God is God. You will answer to. The Bible says that you're going to give an account for every word that you speak. Does that scare any of you yappers? That ought to scare you, Jill. Every time you interrupt my service, I think Jesus has taken notice. No. I'm teasing. I don't have that much faith. Number four, greed will cause you to sin. Greed will cause... What was the motivating sin with Ananias and Sapphira? Greed and pride. 1 Timothy 6:9 through 10 says, but those who desire to be rich fall into a temptation and a snare, to many foolish and harmful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money, notice that it does not say money, but the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Greed will take you down a road that you do not want to go. But if you get your heart right with money, God is looking for people to bless so that the kingdom of God can be prospered. You see, today in this morning service, we had Dustin and his wife here. They're collecting monies for Bibles in Africa. What if you had an extra $10,000? Say, here's $10,000 to buy some Bibles in Swahili. Do you see what I'm saying? But here's the problem with Americans. I want to build a bigger house. I want a Mercedes instead of a Chevrolet. I want nice clothes. I'm tired of going to the secondhand store. Bless God, I love the secondhand store. You know you're cheap when you go to the secondhand store and get mad because the prices are too high. I can't believe they're asking $8 for a pair of jeans. I'm like, dear God, I repent. I'm so tight. Where's your clearance rack here? Here's what I'm trying to say. God is not against you having money. Now, this is cliche-ish, but he doesn't want money to have you. See, God's not broke. Come on, surely you got an amen in you somewhere. God's not broke. God can open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing for you if you'll do with it what he's called you to do. Amen? Are you willing to allow God to use your pocketbook? The last thing I want to tell you is correction has not stopped. God is still correcting us. The Bible says in James, he says, count it all joy. Nobody likes correction. I don't like to be told I'm wrong and I need to stop. Right? I don't like that. You don't either. But we got to deal with it. And when it comes from him, I think we can accept it a little bit better. But you know, the truth of the matter is, sometimes the correction that comes from him also comes through a person. God uses people sometimes to bring correction to you. And so you need to hear, before you get mad, you need just to listen and say, is there any truth to this? What do I need to receive from you? I am thankful that today correction largely comes through the Word of God. Last night as we were praying, it was so interesting to me how this prayer turned and began to, it was so precious. And so people begin to thank God for the difficulties in their life. That's unusual. Even Christians don't do that. But we should. If we are Christ-minded, we can see that even in this difficulty, God is working something out of my life that needs to come out. We had one gentleman here who 2 years ago was addicted to drugs and alcohol. And he's been delivered and he's set free and he's got a new mind in Christ and God is doing great things in his heart. And he said last night, I'm so thankful that you have taken me to the woodshed. Whoa, have you ever prayed that? I'm thankful, Lord, for your correction. Because I don't want to live life going the wrong way. You know what? If I think wrong, being the big mouth that I am, I'm going to teach you wrong. I said, well, Pastor, you better get your life right. You're right. But guess what? You do have children too. This guy's got 5 kids. If his mind is messed up, there's going to be 5 little ones that think the same way. It's imperative. Are you following me? We've got to get our minds right. We need correction from Jesus. We need the Holy Spirit to bring the hard word. You know, the Bible says that the Word of God sometimes is like a hammer. Has your heart ever got so hard that you needed God to smash that nastiness out? Ever met anybody that their mind was continuously in the gutter? I'm going to tell you, if you're a child of God, your mind doesn't need to be in the gutter. You need to think differently. And you may need freedom as much as the drug addict. I'm telling you, that's an addiction. You know that, I don't know why I'm going down this road. You know, 7 out of 10 people view pornography regularly? And that's in and out of the church. Look at your neighbor. If you're clean, there's a pervert on both sides of you. I'm teasing, dear Jesus, I'm teasing. Woo! Some things are the Holy Ghost and some things are of Eric. Well, that was Eric, I'm pretty sure. Okay, forgive me. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. That really means it's God-breathed. It's God-breathed. And it's profitable for doctrine. That's right teaching. Guys, don't get your doctrine from mama. Get your doctrine from the Word of God. Don't get your doctrine from Hollywood, for sure. You've got to get your doctrine. How are you going to do it? By studying the Word of God. So he says, where am I? He says that it's profitable for doctrine. That's right teaching of what you believe. It's profitable for reproof. That means conviction. And most people believe that conviction is a bad thing. No, conviction is a wonderful thing. If the Spirit of God says, you know, you've been doing wrong, God to say, thank you. Help me get past this, would you? Can you give me the power to overcome? And he'll say, yes, I can. So it's good for doctrine. It's good for reproof. It's good for correction. Correction is how to get right. You know, if you've been doing the wrong thing for 40 years, it's hard to see yourself doing it otherwise. Does that make sense? You get in such a pattern of ungodly thinking that you begin to tell yourself it's right. No, it ain't. It wasn't right 40 years ago, and it's not right today. You know, we used to preach in the Pentecostal church, shun the very appearance of evil. You know, there's some things you just ought not be close to. There's some places that you just ought not be. So that's clothesline preaching. Yeah, but that's good preaching. It might save your bacon sometime. It's good for correction. It's the remedy. And it's instruction in righteousness. In other words, it's how to stay right. It's the direction. It's the discipline. Why? What's the end result? That man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Before you got saved, let me back up. Before you were born, God had your story already written. And what He calls you to do and to be and to accomplish is already determined. But you have a big part to play in this. Will you get there? I said, well, if it's of God, He'll make it happen. No, He won't. I don't believe that. I believe in the sovereignty of God, but I also believe in the will of man. I believe you got a part to play in this. And some of it is getting rid of the dirt and asking Jesus to correct me. And that ain't easy. So I asked the Lord, Lord, how am I supposed to close this? I'll tell you, I struggled with this for a week. I didn't want to teach this. I thought, I'm just going to skip the first 11 verses and go to the next. They'll never know. The next part of the story is so exciting. But he said, no. He said, no, my church needs to hear that I'm still into correction. God, if God loves you, does He love you? Yes. Then He will correct you. Are you a son? Are you a daughter? Then He will correct you. And we need to say, bring it on. So I said, Lord, how am I into that? What am I supposed to do? He said, I want you to end with communion. We haven't done communion in a while. I'm going to ask the guys who's going to help me distribute this. If you'd come on up. We'll need three of you. You'll need to get one of each. Take a different bay. I'm doing this a little different today. So listen to me. Don't watch them. Listen to me. If there's unrepentant sin in your life that you are not willing to ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins right now, do not take communion. Okay? And that's spoken from a heart of love. I'm telling you, pastors love. Pastors love their congregation. I'm not saying that to be mean. I'm not saying that to be critical. But if you're not willing to lay something down, don't take communion today. See, I'm not doing communion today because it's time to do communion. I'm doing communion today because Jesus said, this is the way I want you to end the service. So we're going to end this by taking the body and the blood of Christ, saying, God, forgive me for the past, but I'm asking you today to be my Lord and correctiveness. I am telling you today, I give you permission today to correct me. You hear me? The Bible says that that's the reason many of you are sick, because you've taken this unworthy. So we always need to think about what we're doing when it comes to communion. I hope every one of you take it. You don't have to be a member of the church to take this. Our communion is open to anyone. I just want you to know what you're doing is very, very important. Are you hearing me? This is not something like we're singing another hymn. No, 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 no. Are you following that? You are taking of the body and the blood of Christ. When we take communion, it's a serious thing. I know some people believe that you should take this every week, and honestly, it becomes nothing more than repetitive, and they just don't even think about it. I believe that when we take communion, we ought to think about it. I believe that we ought to pray about it, and we're going to. And my prayer today is going to be for you. It's going to be for me. It's going to be to cleanse my heart. Don't let me leave this building today with secret sins or hidden sins in my heart. Don't you want to go free today? Don't you want to be free? Isn't that a wonderful thing? You know, what you did yesterday can be under the blood today. Right? To answer to that, no more. Thank you, Jesus. I don't care what you're addicted to. He can break it right now. You hear me? Whether it's a pornography or drugs, meth, if we got meth heads in here, God can set you free today if you're not free already. I am so thankful. Yesterday when we went to that thing, I never could remember the name of it, but that room was filled with people that used to be addicted to drugs, and today they're addicted to Christ. And I love that. I love the fact that we don't have to stay the way we used to be. Aren't you thankful? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your forgiveness. Thank you, Lord, that you set me free and you set my feet on the rock. Thank you, Father, that you went all the way down to the pit where I was at. You said you crowned my life with loving kindness. I love that. Psalms 103. Set your loving kindness upon me, Jesus. Has everybody been served, guys? Has everybody got the elements if you're wanting to take it? Anybody been left out? Stand with me then. What Treva is playing is Psalms 51. It's the prayer of repentance that David prayed. Cast me not away from your presence, dear Lord. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me. Restore to me the joy of thy salvation. And something else. And renew a right spirit within me. Amen. If I sung it, I got the words right. Bow your head. Close your eyes. Father, we are taking this with all reverence. Father, I have delivered the sermon that you put on my heart. Not the sermon that I wanted to preach, but I have preached the sermon that you have instructed me to preach. It's the sermon of correction. And quite honestly, it's been hard to hear and it's been hard to preach. But I know your correction is always good. I know your correction is always righteous. And I know your correction will put our feet on the right path. And I would say today, Lord, I know, including myself, I need some correction. I need some course correction today. I need some mind correction. I need to walk in forgiveness today, Jesus. I need to know that everything is under the blood. God, I pray for these people, Lord, that they would come clean in the Holy Spirit right now. I pray, God, don't let us fool ourselves, but shine the light of the Holy Spirit right now on our hearts. Convict us of something that maybe we haven't thought about in a long time. God, unforgiveness is coming up in my spirit, just as it did in the first service. Father, unforgiveness is a slick thing, God, that Satan loves to use. Lord, would you help me to forgive those that have offended me? Would you help me, God, to forgive those who have hurt me? Lord, I don't want to hang on to this offense any longer. I pray right now, Jesus, for I release that offense in Jesus' name, and I ask you, Lord, to forgive me for holding on to it. Forgive me, Lord, for anything that's been going on in my heart and my mind. If I've been immoral, I pray, God, forgive me. If I've been wicked, God, forgive me. If I've spoke lies, God, if I've spoke untruths, God, forgive me. I'm not covering anything. I want to be open and bare and naked before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I give you permission, Holy Ghost, to start at the top of my head, go all the way down to my feet, and work through me. Show me, Lord, what I need to repent of. God, I do repent. Lord, we're getting ready to take these elements for the greatest price that's ever been paid. Lord, you took my sin when I was yet an enemy of the Lord. You loved me. You paid the price for my sin so that I could go free. And then you gave me your righteousness so that now I can stand in the presence of God in full righteousness, covered in the blood of Jesus. Folks, are you there? Are you there? I really don't want to move on until I know you're there. Have you asked the Lord? Are you cleansed? Now, Jesus, we take this full of faith, believing that if we've got all this under the blood, Lord, that destiny is still out there for us. God, I thank you, Lord, that maybe you are making some corrective decisions for us and you're getting us back on the path of God so that the blessings of God can come into our life. So, Lord, we take this bread, the body of Christ, which was broken, which was beaten, which was spat upon, which had a thorn, a crown of thorns placed on the head so that you could redeem our thoughts. I thank you, Lord, for the blood that came down the head of God. God, I pray today as we take this bread together that we rejoice in your brokenness so that we could be healed, so that we could be whole, both physically, mentally, emotionally whole, in Jesus' name. Father, we receive this together in Jesus' name. Let's partake. I thank you, Lord, for without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. I thank you, Father, that in the blood is life. The DNA of God is flowing through the blood of Christ. I thank you, Lord, that when we got saved, we became new creatures in Christ. We actually switched families. New DNA now flowing through our veins, and that's the DNA of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that you have become a father to the fatherless. I thank you, Lord, for the blood of Christ, which doesn't cover my sins. It removes my sins. I thank you, Lord, for the sanctification, the holiness of God, the journey of the Spirit of God, which is so fun, so full of excitement walking with you. God, I pray, Lord Jesus, as we celebrate what you did on the cross in our life, we stand in the last three words, it is finished. We stand in the finished work of Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us take that together. Hallelujah. Blessed be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who reigns in glory and honor. Thank you, Lord. Restore unto us the joy of salvation. I really feel like somebody needs to hammer in on that one. If you're not walking in the joy of God, would you just slip up a hand? I'm not looking, and I don't think anybody else is. Just slip up your hand. Father, you see the hands right now. I pray, Lord, right now that you would restore to them the joy of thy salvation, that they would walk full of joy and hope in the Holy Ghost. Lord, the slate is clean. They are free, 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 free. Lord, let them go and just experience pure joy in the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Brother Denny will come and end with the blessing. Dream and I are going to stop back door. We're headed to Michigan. We're going to be gone this week. And I tell you that to say this. If you have a need, call Larry Woodard. Call Dave. Call Denny. Denny would take your phone call. If you have a need, we're going to be out of touch. We're going to be 12, 13 hours away. But we still want to minister to your needs. Any one of these guys can pray. So if you need us, we're still here. If you need me, I'll be a text away, right? But we're going to be out of distance. But if you got money, you feel free to send it to me. No, I'm just
Amen. So make sure if you don't have those phone numbers, make sure you grab a bulletin on your way out, because it has, I think it's on the back page, has all the phone numbers there of everybody. Don't forget also Friday night, the ladies' meeting. If you need a reason, make sure you come. So if you want to buy me a present, by all means, I'll accept that. So have at it. But no. Also, I want to encourage you, if you're not a part of a Sunday school class yet, I encourage you. I was doing some mental math the other day, and we have roughly about 50% of our Sunday morning crowd attend Sunday school on a regular basis. I would really like that to be 80-90%. You know, it'd be nice if we had a 10 or 15 classes of 20 people each of Sunday school. It'd be great. So, we'll find a spot for it. Anyway, raise your hand and receive the Lord's blessing. May the Lord bless you. And may he keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Go in peace and serve the Lord. God bless you.